Sometimes it seems like our concern for endangered animals grows in proportion to their cuteness. Nobody dislikes a giant panda, for example. If cuteness wins, the Humboldt Martin has a bright future, but that is not assured at the moment. The weasel-like Humboldt Martin, it looks rather like a kitten, exists in only two places, both near the Oregon coast. And from what scientists can tell, there aren't many of them around. So a flock of environmental groups recently petitioned the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to give the Martin, specifically the Humboldt Martin, protection under the state's Endangered Species Act. Cascadia Wildlands is one of the groups. Nick Cady is the legal director for that group and our guest on The Exchange again. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about the Humboldt Martin and how it differs from the American Martin. This is a subspecies, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a population that's been isolated from the main kind of pine marten population in the rest of the United States and throughout Oregon. It's slightly smaller. It has kind of a smaller skull. It has darker fur and a more narrow face, kind of specialized to get the Oregon and California coast range.
So does it help it feed or something, that narrow face?
Yeah, presumably it's more adapted to kind of some of the smaller woody debris that, I don't know, is found on the Oregon and California coast range.
All right, but science says this is a distinct subspecies. This Humboldt Martin is not the same as the other American pine marten?
Yeah, American pine martens are found throughout the continental United States, and they were formerly thought to be just one pine marten species across the whole U.S., and now kind of with closer study of these carnivore species, they're starting to discover very distinct different subspecies of martens.
Is the Humboldt Martin fairly elusive? Is it a little hard to find?
Apparently not. They've done a lot of studies, intensive studies recently. The largest carnivore study ever conducted in Oregon was conducted for these Humboldt Martins in 2016. And they're described as a trap-happy species. So they're pretty easy to trap and detect. I don't think a normal person hiking out in the woods would kind of stumble upon them. I think they're fairly elusive in that sense, but apparently they're easy to survey for and find with traps.
And what do we know about the numbers of the Humboldt Martins at this point?
So I think, the species is limited, the subspecies is limited to California and Oregon. And I think within each state, kind of optimistically, you have kind of a maximum of 200 individuals in each state. So 400 total for the species, less than 200 in Oregon.
Okay, but given the somewhat elusive nature, other than the traps, I mean, is there high confidence in the counts of the Humboldt Martin?
Yes. So as I mentioned, they did this kind of largest survey effort that's ever been conducted for carnivores in Oregon. It was 25,000 square kilometers. They estimated it was about 75% of the species' historic range is what they surveyed for with pressure traps and cameras, and they only found 28 individuals, and they did some modeling and kind of determined that there was potentially 200 individuals statewide, but it was much less than what they originally thought was in the state.
Just as an aside, you mentioned that it was a survey of carnivores. It was more than just the Martin then?
Oh, no, it was concentrated on the Martin.
Okay.
I'm sure they detected other species, fishers and other things that are kind of similar to Martin in size and foraging behavior, but it was a direct result of a petition in 2010 to list the Martin or the Humboldt Martin as an endangered species. That petition was denied, and now that petition kind of spurred a survey effort that kind of began in 2014.
So that was a federal petition under the Endangered Species Act?
Yep. The Center for Biological Diversity and the Environmental Protection Information Center petitioned in 2010 to have the Humboldt Martin listed. The denial of that petition was based upon an assumption that there were healthy populations in Oregon, healthy connected populations. And so that spurred a multi-agency survey effort that lasted several years.
And yet, despite the low numbers we're talking about here, the federal government felt no pressing need for listing either as threatened or endangered?
Yeah, I think a lot of organizations were surprised by the initial finding by the Fish and Wildlife Service was that the species was warranted for listing, and then they reversed course on this, largely upon this Oregon assumption that the species was doing well in Oregon. And so the surveys went down to determine whether or not that was true.
All right, and so you have these numbers in this survey. So you're seeking, instead of going through federal protection, it's you at at Cascadia Wildlands, the Center for Biological Diversity, Defenders of Wildlife, Environmental Protection Information Center, Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center, or KS Wild, and Oregon Wild. So six groups altogether involved in this, seeking state listing. How does that differ, if at all, from the effects of federal listing?
The State Endangered Species Act is slightly different than the Federal Endangered Species Act, and gives, it kind of triggers more requirements for state agencies that in certain instances have a lot more control over species like the marten than the federal agency were, than the feds would. For example, Oregon controls the state wildlife regulations, which currently permit trapping of martens statewide, and there's a trapping season, they're a fur bearer. And so that's one of the things that we're really concerned with. We filed a petition in conjunction with the state listing petition. We filed a rulemaking petition to kind of immediately ban trapping of the species, because the studies that were recently conducted in the wake of that massive survey effort concluded that just the loss of 2 to 3 individuals a year could lead the species towards a 99% chance of extinction.
We're talking to Nick Cady, the Cascadia Wildlands legal director. Cascadia Wildlands, as we mentioned, one of six groups seeking a state listing under the Oregon Endangered Species Act for the Humboldt marten, which lives in two relatively small populations close to the Oregon coast. We'll get some details on exactly where in just a moment. Maybe not exactly where, if you get my drift. But you can join the conversation on the exchange by email only, I'm afraid, at jx@jeffnet.org. So wait a second. You talked about banning trapping. Trapping is still allowed for the Humboldt marten up to this point. Is that right?
Yeah, unbelievably enough, trapping is still allowed. This issue came across my personal radar. We were in front of the, years ago, in front of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Commission, the body that makes kind of fish and wildlife management decisions in Oregon, and two Fish and Wildlife Services affiliated scientists came in and kind of urged the state to change its trapping regulations, or at least institute kind of a temporary ban until they concluded that survey effort that was going on, because they were really worried about the preliminary findings, that there weren't many being found, and really worried that it was still legal to trap them. And I think the words that they use are the sentence that they had in that, the closing remarks were, that one determined trapper could wipe out the entire population in a season.
One trapper could do that. Wow.
Yep.
So, and what the response from the Fish and Wildlife Commission, I guess, was in the negative, because trapping still is out there.
Well, there wasn't any particular motion before the commission or any action, and the commission kind of, you know, nodded in response, but never initiated anything on its own. And so that's why we filed a petition, and we filed this listing petition.
So, okay, so let's talk about, I want to back up to a couple of points about where the Humboldt martens live in Oregon. It's just two places, right? In the Siskiyou, or what was the Siskiyou National Forest, now is the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest, and the Siyuss Law?
Yep, you're correct. So they're down in the Siskiyou National Forest, and they're in the Siyuss Law National Forest, specifically in the Oregon Dunes National Recreation Area. And it's kind of a unique, it's not an area where they anticipated finding the species, but I think it's one of these areas that the species has kind of adapted to, kind of this low shrub, pine, you know, coastal forest. If you've ever been to the dunes in that area, it's dominated by rhododendrons and shore pines. But they found a small isolated population there. It is bound, it's on the west side of Highway 101 in those kind of sandy dunes over there.
Wow, so that's very different from the old growth that they're living in the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest, isn't it?
It is, and there's kind of specific challenges that the species faces based on, like, prey species is different, and I think there's been some kind of adaptations that the species has made to persist there, but they appear to be, I think, the main limiting factors. They're very bound by Highway 101. It's a very thin strip of habitat that they're living in there.
That's really interesting. So was there any discussion among the groups that filed for the Oregon listing to consider doing the population separately? Or, I mean, are they that similar?
Well, they are definitely. The main conclusion about one of the primary threats to the species is all. So there's two kind of clusters, population clusters in Oregon, and there's two in California, and all four of them are not connected to each other. And so this was kind of one of the main, you know, threats to the species, is that there's no interbreeding, there's no kind of genetic material being exchanged between these species, and so there's a huge risk of kind of continual inbreeding and a slow but steady decline and descent to extinction.
Do the Humboldt martins occupy any of the same space as the other pine martins? I mean, and do they crossbreed with them ever?
No, and that's why they're kind of recognized as a subspecies. They've been separated from the pine martins in the Cascades for a significant period of time, and so they've kind of evolved separately and differently.
All right, we mentioned threats to them, including trapping. And is the trapping for fur? Does the martin have a value as a fur-bearing animal?
Historically it was trapped extensively for fur. We looked it up, and I think today a martin pelt would go for $28 per pelt. So I think if you were to trap the whole species out in Oregon, you would make $5,000. I think that's a small price to gain from kind of an extinction of a species.
That's kind of scary math, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what, in addition to trapping, which you mentioned is still legal, I mean, what other kinds of activities on the landscape have isolated the populations of the Humboldt martin?
Well, I think the main driver, aside from trapping, has been historic coastal logging and habitat fragmentation. I think in California and Oregon, we've lost 90% of our coastal old growth forests. They estimate now that in Oregon, it's 95% of the species range has been all but eliminated by commercial timber harvest and kind of the development along the coast that's happened as well. The other thing I mentioned was the Oregon Dunes population being bound in by Highway 101, and they report a lot of vehicle mortality. So the species is getting hit by cars on Highway 101, specifically for that dune population. There's also concerns with climate change and fire, and also problems with marijuana cultivation on some of our national forest lands. So there's been a lot of deaths of fishers reported from rodenticides. Fishers have very similar foraging specialties as the martin, and so that's also a major concern, that kind of widespread marijuana cultivation and the rodenticides that are used in association with that could impact the species as well.
Yeah, we've talked about the rodenticide effects in the past, that basically the animals bleed to death or hemorrhage to death. It's not a pretty way to go. We're talking to Nick Cady at Cascadia Wildlands. He's the legal director there, about a proposal for listing the Humboldt martin, two populations in Oregon, in the Siuslaw National Forest and the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest, under the Oregon Endangered Species Act, not the same as the federal Endangered Species Act. Comments welcome by email only. We don't have the phone system working yet, and you can send those to jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned that listing, if it were to come under the State Endangered Species Act, would require activity from a number of Oregon agencies, but what kinds of restrictions, if any, would there be on activities from private people on the lands we're talking about?
Well, that would be interesting. I think the species currently is not found on any private land. Private timberland is not the way that it's managed in Oregon and in California. It's just not conducive to the species dispersal or feeding. Or they rely on kind of a heavy, dense shrub layer and lots of down woody debris. They're kind of an old-growth forest specialist species, because this is where they nest and where their prey base is in these old forests with a lot of structure on the ground, a lot of downed logs and areas for them to get cover from bobcats, where their main predator, and also where all their prey species live, squirrels and other small mammals, is their kind of main food base. So they rely heavily upon dense forest cover, and that's kind of not present in private commercial timberlands or in residential or urban developments there along the coast as well. So they're I don't think there would be very many private implications, aside from maybe restrictions on trapping rights or the ability of the public to go out and trap the species.
What I was aiming for, though, was public use of private lands. I mean, would this affect things like timber sales on federal lands when it's a state listing, that sort of thing?
It could potentially. There's not an active timber program in the Oregon Dunes, and the area in the Siskiyous. I think the reliance upon old growth habitat is similar to a lot of other species that you've probably talked about on your program before. And the northern spotted owl or the marbled murrelet, this is a coastal old growth species. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a lot of overlap there as well. I don't think the implications would be too drastic for federal land.
Does the state protection confer anything like the habitat creation that you get with a federal listing?
Yeah, state it's unique. So the state Oregon's Endangered Species Act really hasn't been utilized that much at all. And so it's kind of one of these areas where our organization and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is kind of just discovering the potential of this act and what really can be done under it. But one of the things that is mandated, it's kind of a coordination between all state agencies. And I think the thing that could really help the population in Oregon's dunes is maybe some work by the Oregon Department of Transportation to establish some wildlife corridors, maybe over Highway 101, to establish connectivity with some of the other parts of the Siuslaw National Forest.
So you could have a Martin Bridge or a Martin Culvert or something to let them cross.
Yeah, maybe a Martin Catapult. Yeah, something along those lines.
All right. Well, you know what we're going to use for a quote now to put into our newscast. So let's talk about this. You've got about a minute left here. What's the process ahead? Will there be hearings? Is there further investigation? I mean, how long a process do you envision under the Oregon Endangered Species Act should the movement go ahead to list the Humboldt Martin?
So the petition under the Oregon Endangered Species Act will take, the state has a year to rule on that petition one way or the other. They can extend that a year if they find it necessary. We're hoping that this is a pretty straightforward request for the species that's fairly obviously in dire straits. There's not an active, you know, Martin trapping program out there that makes any sort of money. So we're hopeful that the commission will act quickly on this.
All right, so 1 year gives them until June 26th of next year. And then finally, Nick, does cuteness help? I mean, when you're as photogenic as the Humboldt Martin is, does that help your chances of survival?
It certainly helps the number of shares you get on social media, I will say that.
Right. We will see what happens with the listing of the Humboldt Martin requested for the state of Oregon under the Oregon Endangered Species Act, filed on June 26th by Cascadia Wildlands, the Center for Biological Diversity, Defenders of Wildlife, the Environmental Protection Information Center, the Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center, and Oregon Wild. Nick Cady is the legal director at Cascadia Wildlands. Thanks again for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.